Hey, everybody. I wanted to give you a real quick update. So you're going to hear in this episode the folks over at Brainwave Trivia talking about TriviaCon. TriviaCon was scheduled to happen, I believe, in April, but with everything happening, it has been postponed or canceled. It's going to be a great event if you ever get a chance to go out there. So follow Brainwave Trivia. Follow TriviaCon. They're both up on Instagram. They're on the social media platforms. They will tell you when it's there. But if you get a chance to go out to Vegas and be a part of that, do it. Cash prizes, good people, good times. Without further ado, though, here is your show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. My name is Chris, and I'm going to tell you right now, I have got a hell of a show for you today. I say I because like it's just me here right now, but we have got a hell of a show for you here today. I am joined, as always, or not always, but almost always, by Alabama's own Mike and Nikki. Say hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
And Nikki, how you feeling?
I'm good, you know, almost 8 months pregnant, so it's fun.
I'm not sure if you realize this, Nikki or Mike. Leah and I realized it earlier today. You two and then Dan and Crystal are having your babies on, like, consecutive days.
Oh, I didn't know they had picked a day yet.
Yeah, so I think you guys are, what, the 14th?
14th, yeah.
They're the 13th.
Yeah.
And they're the 13th. That makes sense, because I knew she was a couple days before us.
So, whatever happened that weekend, I wasn't there. But neither here nor there. What are you guys drinking tonight?
I'll let Nikki go first.
Oh, well, I did need a little bit of a caffeine boost tonight, so I'm a little more exciting. I'm Coke Zeroing it up.
So. Ooh. You're so fancy.
Yeah, super fancy.
And Mike, you told me you couldn't even wait for the podcast to start before you started drinking, so I'm really curious to know what was in your glass that you couldn't wait for.
So this is a beer that I picked up a couple weeks ago. It's one of these, you know, it's one of these bigger bottle beers that cost like, you know, $15 or something like that. What is it? Like 850 milliliters, something like that?
It's huge.
650 milliliters, yeah. Yeah, it's a huge bottle. But it's a it's billed as Candy Bar in a Bottle. It's a rogue beer. I think most beer drinkers know Rogue Brewing. Mostly Dead Guy Ale is probably their most famous one. This is called Hazelutely Choctabulous.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's 60% of a hazelnut brown nectar, blended with 40% of a chocolate stout. Yes, I've already had some of this, I guess. Not my first beer of the night, but it's a blend of a hazelnut brown and a chocolate stout. It's billed as Candy Bar in a Bottle, but it's actually, when I saw that, I was like, "Ew, do I really want to bust this out? Because it might be a little too sweet." But it's not overwhelming. It's very good. It goes down nice. It's got an interesting aroma to it. Because when I first smelled it, I was like, just doesn't smell at all like I expect it to taste. But it's very good.
That does sound good, actually. I'm not going to lie. I had we recorded last night.
You would
night.
Actually like this beer, I think, Chris.
Well, I like everything.
Well.
Except tequila. No tequila.
You're not a big IPA person.
Yeah, I'm not an IPA guy either. But we recorded last night as well over at Jeff and Marissa's house, and I had gotten a bottle, that same size bottle, but it was a clearance from 2019 Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big ass bottle like that, and I got it for $4.
Nice.
And it was a brown ale with a mushroom cap flavoring, which was actually very nice. Had a good malty taste to it. I loved it.
Interesting.
But enough about us. You've heard from us a lot. I'm going to do this right now. We're going to pass this all the way the hell over to Mesa, Arizona. And we are joined by the awesome people from Brainwave Trivia. Go ahead and say hello.
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 So tell me about Brainwave.
Yes. Hi. So my name is Kylie Diggs, and
I am Tim Diggs.
That's my husband. Last name is the same. and we own Brainwave Trivia, which is a trivia writing service. And so basically what we do is We create trivia games for bar owners that want to host a weekly trivia night, and they want to, you know, keep it in-house, do it themselves if they, you know, like being on the mic and, you know, want to get to know their regulars in that way. But they don't really have time to write a whole quiz every week because they're running a restaurant or a bar. So we provide a subscription service that they can get a new quiz every week from us. And yeah, and we also have social media, like I do on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, daily trivia questions just to sort of quiz people and exercise their brains. And that's actually the first place that I found you guys was on Instagram, actually, before I even started listening to your podcast. So thanks, Instagram.
Oh, Mercer will be happy to hear that.
Yeah. So by day, I am a copy editor for a major university here in town. You can probably guess which one it is. And Tim?
Oh, I like, by the way, that she says we. She does all the heavy lifting for Brainwave. I'm really the tester. By day, I am a quality assurance inspector for a FAA certificated repair station and a custom manufacturing facility here in Gilbert, Arizona.
Oh, nice.
He picks airplanes.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
And I'm going to say this. It never crossed my mind in the year and a half we've been doing this show, Mike and Nikki, to like actually say what we do for a living.
I know. It's so funny. I was literally just thinking that. I was like, they did a great job of introducing themselves. I don't think I ever did that.
No, we're much more by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's how we fly aircraft, so.
So yeah, so Brainwave Trivia is also going to be, well, not going to be, it is, a sponsor of Sporkle's TriviaCon, which is coming up here April 3rd through 5th in Las Vegas. And I know you guys aren't able to go, which is a bummer, but hopefully if any of your listeners want to head out there or are heading out there, you can check out the Brainwave Trivia quiz. It's going to be sort of a mini version of our full pub quiz game. Played on Saturday night, I think at 6 o'clock, and there's a $250 prize involved in that, which is pretty exciting. And the last thing, I guess, shameless plug is I am also an author of trivia books, and you can currently find a Friends trivia book called Could There Be Any More Trivia?
Whoa. You're a Friends fan?
Oh my God, I am the Friends fan.
She literally wrote the book on it.
Where can we find this book? Because I'm looking for it right now.
It's on Amazon. So if you search my name, Kylie Diggs, or if you search Friends Trivia Book, you'll find it. It's got the black cover with the little coffee cup and the Monica frame. I also have on there a Sex and the City quiz book called Absquizzin'Lutely. And I'm working right now on a 90s movies trivia book. So hopefully that'll be out soon.
I can definitely say place that order. It will be here on March 2nd.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
My wife loves Friends. She is the biggest Friends
fan. That's a gift for Leah there.
It is. She's sleeping. Well, not sleeping because no, but she's in the other room. She can't hear us.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
Thank you.
90s movies. Oh man. That's right up my alley.
Yeah. I was going to say we're going to get along, I think.
So here's how today's game is going to go. We've got our regular trivia game. So we're going to start off with our pregame. Your teams are going to be Team Pub Trivia Experience, Mike and Nikki, taking on Brainwave Trivia. And we're going to start with our pregame. Pregame is 10 questions, 2 points apiece. Each team will get 5. We're going to go alternate back and forth. You will choose a number 1 through 10, and then you'll have to give an answer. It is a 50-50 answer. These are 2 points apiece, and because you are the guests, I will let Brainwave tell us, do you want to go first or do you want Mike and Nikki to go first?
We'll defer. I know they do that in football. I don't really understand the reason behind it.
We'll kick to the east.
Okay, Mike and Nikki, not just Mike and Nikki, everybody. Here is your pregame, and I thought this would be pretty fitting, being that we've got people in Arizona, people in Florida, and it is the end of February. I want you to tell me, do the following teams spring train in Florida or Arizona?
Yeah. That's a sports one I might be able to do, actually.
Good one.
So many.
Mike and Nikki, you guys are up first. Give me a number 1 through 10.
5.
Number 5, Mike and Nikki. In what state do the Kansas City Royals spring train?
Yeah, that sounds fine. We'll say Cactus League on that one.
And Kansas City is in the Cactus League. They're out of Surprise, Arizona. Nicely done. All right, Brainwave, give me your number.
Number 8.
Number 8. Your team is the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, that's Cactus League. They're here.
That is correct. The Reds are out in Goodyear, Arizona. Nicely done. Back to Mike and Nikki.
10.
Number 10, Mike and Nikki. The Texas Rangers.
I have no idea, but my inclination is to say Florida just because we've had 2 Arizona ones in a row, but I don't know if that means anything. So,
Florida, sure.
Oh, that is incorrect. The Texas Rangers are also out of Surprise, Arizona. And I believe, I may be wrong here, but I think they actually share a complex with the Royals.
Oh, that's pretty funny, yeah.
If not, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. But all right. That's 0 points for Mike and Nikki. Kylie and Tim, what do you think? What number?
We'll take number 1.
Number 1, your team is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Baseball is a sport I know so little about.
I think the Cardinals are here. Ooh. I think they're also here. I mean, it's just random the way that we've been picking the numbers. So there's not really game theory on that.
That's true. I'm going to go Cactus.
Cactus. Yeah. Right.
We'll go Cactus.
Oh, no, no. They are out of Jupiter, Florida.
Curses. Jinx.
See, they actually say curses and we just swear. Like this is the difference between class and ass. Mike and Nikki, back to you. Give me a number.
2.
Number 2, Mike and Nikki. Where do my beloved Chicago Cubs spring train?
Damn. I feel like they're in Arizona too for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know. I never really follow spring training. I just don't.
I feel like a terrible baseball fan for not knowing this. But.
I like baseball, but spring training isn't something I follow.
Yeah. Any counter ideas to? I mean, generally speaking, I would imagine more of the East. You know, if you veer more towards the East Coast, you go to Florida.
There's a lot of Cubs fans in Florida. But,
that's true.
So I would say Florida.
You think Florida? All right, we'll go Florida.
No. While the city of Naples did try and recruit the Cubs a few years back, they now play, or they continue to play, but they just got a new park out in Mesa, Arizona. I have a feeling that Kylie knew that.
We did know that. One of Tim's best friends is maybe the biggest Cubs fan in Arizona. So
it's funny. Every time the Cubs come to town to play the Diamondbacks, there's always more Cubs fans in the stands than Diamondback fans.
Yeah.
That's the Yankees and the Red Sox here. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we were in Tampa, it was like every game was not good.
Well, I was there in 2008. The Cubs came here. The Cubs came to Tampa 2008, and I was there in all 3 games in my Cubs gear, and the Rays on the way to the World Series swept us convincingly. That was miserable. Neither here nor there. What are we going with, Brainwave?
How about number 4?
Good old number 4. Your team is the Minnesota Twins.
The Twins are not here, because if the Twins were here, Kansas. Trent would go see them more often.
Oh, that's true.
They're in Florida.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're going to say Grapefruit for the Twins.
They are in the Grapefruit League. They play in Fort Myers, Florida, about 2 hours south of me, and I have never been to a game there. I need to go. Mike and Nikki.
We'll back it up and do 3.
All right. Your team is the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, they're in Florida. Bradenton, I believe.
It's a good thing we're not asking for cities. The Bradenton is the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ah!
The Detroit Tigers actually play out of Tigerland in Lakeland, Florida. Nicely Lakeland. Done.
Yep.
The Pirates is on this list.
Yeah.
The Pirates are not on this list. Sorry.
Damn.
All right. We have got 6, 7, and 9 left. Kylie and Tim, what are we going with?
Let's do number 7.
Number 7. Your team is the Cleveland Indians.
Oh.
I feel like that's also Florida.
No, I think they're here.
At this point, I'm guessing. I got a 50-50 shot here.
I used to work at the big newspaper in town, and we would do like a spring training roundup every year. So that's the knowledge base that I'm pulling from here. Shoot.
I will defer to you on this one.
I think they're here. I think the Indians play here. So we're going to say Arizona.
Based out of Goodyear, Arizona, you were correct.
Nice.
Yeah. Nicely done. Mike and Nikki, you guys are falling behind here. You have 6 and 9 left. That's shocking. Which one are you going with?
Number nine.
Your team is the soon-to-be most beaned team in all of baseball, the Houston Astros.
I'm pretty sure they're in Arizona. I could be wrong. We'll say Arizona.
No, the Astros are in West Palm Beach, Florida.
They're having a rough go of it right now.
They're getting hit more than once per game now.
Unsurprising.
No, I hate to say they deserve it, but
yeah.
I'm a baseball purist. I don't like that. But all right, we're down to number 6. Kylie and Tim, your team is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Brew Crew is here.
Is it?
Oh, I can see the logo. I'm picturing the paper. I think, yeah.
Well, let's go with that then.
We're going to say Arizona.
And you are correct. The Brewers are out of Phoenix, Arizona. Nicely done. And I think they're the only team actually in Phoenix proper, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Most of them are in the outlying cities.
Yeah, I did love Phoenix when I was out there in 2015 for spring training, and it was very nice. All right. We are done with our pregame. Everyone's had a beer. Everyone's a little bit feeling pretty good right now. We're going to go ahead and head into our regular game. Your scores as we head in is Brainwave with 8 points, Pub Trivia Experience with 4. As we head into round 1, I'll remind everybody these questions are worth 10 points apiece. Are we ready to go?
It is.
Bring it.
Yes.
All right. Before we jump into question number 1, I do want to give a special shout out over to Heavy Seas Brewery. They have a beer out there called Blackbeard's Breakfast. And this is a porter brewed with coffee and aged in bourbon barrels. So if you know me, bourbon and coffee and dark beer, like 3 of my favorite things, it's freaking amazing.
When you said that, I was sitting here thinking there is no way Chris could have seen that beer and resisted it.
Just be happy. They only had one on the shelf. If they had more, I would have bought a few of them without even tasting it. It's really damn good. And I think they're based out of Baltimore. So nicely done. Nicely done, folks over there. Heavy sales beer, I believe, out of Baltimore, Maryland. But here we go. Round 1, your question number 1 category is, won't you be my neighbor?
No.
You moved to Alabama to get away from me, you pompous ass.
Yeah, fair.
I want you to tell me, what country shares a border with 14 other countries, more than any other country in the world?
Geography is just the worst. I
agree. Thank you, agree.
I know, Chris loves it.
You said 14 other countries?
14 other countries.
There's so many options.
A couple hundred, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It's spoiler alert, it's not Australia. There's a free one for you.
I should mention, these are land borders, not sea borders.
Okay, we're not certain, but we're going to lock in with an answer so that you guys can talk.
All right. Brainwave is locked in. Mike and Nikki, talk it out.
Okay.
Narrowed it down to like somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Africa. So woohoo.
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, that's where there are, well, it could be in Asia too, but it's basically, we definitely know it's not North America. As I said, we definitely know it's not Australia. Not Antarctica. So that's 3 continents down. My instinct was like somewhere like Switzerland or somewhere that's like kind of Central Europe, Hungary maybe. Because it's not going to be like a small country because it'd have to, you know, so it's got to be a decent sized country kind of in the middle of.
I mean, think Switzerland's a pretty good guess.
I mean, I don't know if we're really going to get there. Neither of us are
geography people.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost a running joke on this podcast at this point about me and geography, and
I can't find my way out of the closet. So like.
So yeah, Switzerland.
I turn on my GPS to like go down the street.
It would make sense. They say they stay neutral in every war because there's way too many friggin' countries that border them. So
yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
We'll go with Switzerland.
All right, they have locked in with Switzerland. Brainwave, what did you say?
So our thought was that it has to be a really big country with a lot of borders, and Switzerland's. That crossed my mind, but that's like really small, so I don't know how many would actually be able to fit around that border, so we ended up going with Russia.
Okay. So I will admit to having a somewhat poorly or misleading worded question here. I am going to accept Russia. Russia would actually only be 13, except for the fact that as a Kaliningrad in Eastern Europe actually adds a 14th by bordering Poland. Russia is technically a correct answer. But Russia proper only borders, I believe, 13 countries. But I'm still going to give you the points. The correct answer that borders everything using just the main body is actually China.
Oh, that makes sense, too.
Big countries.
Yeah, that was a better way of looking at it.
Nicely done, though. Nicely done. 10 points over to Brainwave. We're going to go ahead and move on to question number two. Your category is in movies.
Woohoo!
One of my favorite categories. And here is your question. And as you know, I am a big fan of movie reviews, and so this is going to lean on Rotten Tomatoes. With its February 2020 release, Sonic the Hedgehog became only the... Yeah. Oh, that Blackbeard came right back up. Hold on. Edit points, Sam. With its February 2020 release, Sonic the Hedgehog became only the second movie based on a video game to be certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Name the other one. And that movie was released in 2019.
I was just writing a question.
What year did you say it was released?
2019.
That's way later than what I was thinking of earlier.
I was naturally assuming it was going to be the Super Mario Brothers. So.
Right. How did Bob Hoskins not win an Oscar for that?
He got jobbed over for Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Probably true.
Oh, that's it.
We're gonna lock in.
Mike and Nikki are locked. Brainwave, talk it out.
Okay, so it's a movie that came out in 2019 based on a video game, which is the only other fresh rating.
Correct.
Because Assassin's Creed was way earlier.
It was earlier than 2019.
Do you have any idea? I'm so lost.
Drawing a blank on this. My original thought, I was thinking one of the Resident Evil movies, but those were so long ago compared to 2019. Man.
Oh no, I was going to say Detective Pikachu, but that's not a video game. Pokemon is a, or is it?
There are Pokemon video games.
That's all I could even possibly think of.
I've never played any of them.
I'm sure we're going to kick ourselves when we hear what this is, but that's all I can think of right now.
But with that, I know it has Ryan Reynolds.
Which automatically makes it fresh.
Right. Man.
Unless you can, like, I mean.
I'm coming up with nothing on that. Detective Pikachu, you want to go with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
We're gonna say Detective Pikachu with no confidence.
I love it. Mike and Nikki, what did you say?
When I say we, I would like to emphasize very strongly that Nikki, because I actually had the same exact thought process as Tim. I was like, the only thing I can even think of that would be close would be the original Resident Evil movie, because movies based on video games are generally terrible. But Nikki said, oh, wasn't there a Pokemon movie? And I was like, I think it might have been called Detective Pikachu, but I know that it got really good reviews. So that's what we went with as well.
So the original Resident Evil starring Mila Jovovich, I think it's Colm Feore and Michelle Rodriguez is probably one of the better video game movies I think ever made. even on Rotten Tomatoes, it's only like 35%.
Oh, that's a weak.
That's some weak shit right there, because that movie's fun.
The movie is fun.
With that being said, Pokemon did start out as a video game. Your correct answer is Detective Pikachu.
Yeah!
Yep.
I pulled that out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was well done. Honestly, the only reason I knew Pokemon was a video game was because I think it was Jeffrey's trivia game like a while back or something.
I didn't know. I was just like, I think there's a Pokemon. I just thought maybe it was a video game at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, my little brother is obsessed with Pokemon.
He had that one where he was like, it was the easy question versus the hard question, and the easy question was Pokemon related. And I texted you and I said, tell your brother he is completely wrong on what's easy and what's hard. And he goes, he's the Pokemon generation. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Pokemon, I think, is the most profitable franchise right now. Bigger than Star Wars, bigger than Marvel. Pokemon is the most profitable, I think, franchise out there.
Makes sense.
Never let it be said that I was cool in any way, shape, or form.
With all that being said, I will say I think, and I know it's close. Tomb Raider with Alicia Vikander was close. It was like 54%.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was
before
2019.
I think it was.
It was. It was 2018.
Yeah.
But that movie's actually a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, that movie's a lot of fun.
But no, that was a hell of a pull by my wife. I was just like, I couldn't even think of a video game movie I couldn't even think of any movies that came out in 2019 that weren't Marvel movies, pretty much.
We didn't see any movies in 2019.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to question number 3. In round number 1, your category is Pokemon.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No.
Speaking of Pokemon, what state capital changed its name temporarily in 1998 to celebrate a well-known Pokemon character?
A state that should be excised from the Union.
What year did you say?
1998.
I'm
currently writing down like the only two other Pokemon that I can think of, and neither of them look right, so...
I said we go with that for no specific reason.
We have no idea, so we're locking in with a guess.
All right. They're locked in. Mike and Nikki, talk it out.
Give us a minute. We're going through. We're okay.
Seeing the states.
Of course you are.
Right. Yeah.
No. Well, our thoughts are some. It's got to have.
We don't know. Like, honestly, Pikachu is the only Pokemon I can even name.
Yeah.
So I was like, I turned to Nikki. I said, could it be Topikachu, Kansas? Like, I don't know. I know Kansas isn't necessarily known for being, like, super cool, but are they that lame? Apologies to our Kansas listeners.
Well, I just feel like I don't know.
I mean, I live in Alabama, though.
I don't know for sure if it's Pikachu, but most likely that's the most popular. Is there already a city that sounds like?
That's what I was trying Pikachu. To think of. That's and like Topikachu, Kansas was the closest thing I could think of.
I don't know.
I mean, short of going through all the capitals.
Yeah.
I mean,
Topikachu, Kansas.
I'm trying to think if there's another capital that would, you know, sound that it would make sense. Like maybe, you know, instead of Pierre, South Dakota, it's Pikachu, like, does it at least begin with P? I don't know. Like, Vermont instead of Montpelier. Like, we could go all day. We don't have a flipping clue. So we're going to say Topeka, Kansas became temporarily Topikachu, Kansas, because that's a thing that should happen ever.
I like their answer way more than ours.
Yeah, a lot.
And what did you guys lock in with?
We locked in with Albany for no specific reason.
All right. Just
start with PAs and picked a capital.
I love it.
And Mike and Nikki pulled that out of their ass. Topeka, Kansas.
Nice.
Was changed to Topikachu, Kansas for one day in 1998. Nicely done. Round 1, question number 4. Your category is I smell a rat.
Cue the White Stripes.
Perhaps the most famous quote from Richard Milhouse Nixon was part of a speech where he said, I'm not a crook. At what tourist attraction was this speech made?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't from the desk of the White House?
No, I can see him saying it, too. I can see him saying it on the stage, and I cannot think of where it was.
Man, you're hitting all my blind spots today.
I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great, you dick. No pun intended, given the subject of this question.
Challenging trivia is the best trivia.
Yeah. Screw Nixon. You're the tricky dick tonight.
It took you like 45 seconds to come up with that. That's just not. No.
Yeah.
No. Boo.
But I thought maybe edited it would come out better.
Okay, we're locked in.
Brainwave is locked in. Mike and Nikki, talk it out.
It was probably 70. He resigned in 74, so it was probably 73, 74.
Right. Well, I'm in a popular. Honestly, I would have just said it was like the White House. I didn't know it was anywhere.
I can actually see him, like, but I can only see him, and like, I know it's sunny, and I can see him going, well, I'm not a crook, like, you know. But I couldn't tell you where in the hell it was.
Somewhere sunny there.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it was
so
like,
outside, sunny.
Yeah.
What's its forest thing that's outside?
I honestly don't know if we're gonna get there. I'm actually drawing a blank on even tourist attractions right now, which is terrible.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's a Disney World or something. It's got to be
right,
you know, like
right. That's the whole thing. Is I feel like it was like a amusement park.
Yeah, but. I mean. You said he was on state. I mean, so some kind of national park.
I feel like he was on a state, or I feel like he was at a press conference or something like that. But it was clearly a press conference at. Well, it was outside of the White House. So I mean, I honestly don't know. Nixon's from like California, right? So let's maybe like Yosemite.
Sure.
Yosemite.
All right, Pub Trivia Experience is locked in with Yosemite. Brainwave, what did you say?
Again, I like their answer more than our answer. We ended up going with Disneyland.
All right, so you both went out west to California-based attractions. Unfortunately, no points for anyone this round. If I told you it was at a place called the Contemporary Resort, would that help?
Not even a little bit for me.
Nope. Not at all.
Oh, the Contemporary Disney World.
The Contemporary Resort, is that in Boston? Or
no, 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 no. What'd you just say? I heard it.
The Contemporary Resort is one of the Disney World hotels. Damn it.
It was at Walt Disney World. Hence the title, I Smell a Rat.
No.
Who is the biggest rat in the world?
Oh. I almost said, you know, I thought.
We were talking. For some reason, I didn't think it was a Disney World.
Being in a mess.
All right, yep. Heading into round number two, your scores are 28-24 in favor of Brainwave Trivia. Round two, question number one. Your category is, like Voltaire said, it's not so common. What American patriot advocated for Marie Antoinette to be exiled to the United States rather than being executed? And obviously, he was unsuccessful.
We can lock in.
Mike and Nikki are locked in. Brainwave, talk it out.
You go ahead.
Well, I don't really have anything, so. No, so my first thought was Jefferson.
Yes, he.
Because he was a huge Frankophile.
Frankophile, yes.
And also, Hamilton taught me everything I know about that era of history.
You made a deal with the king's head, whose head is now in a basket. Yeah. So I'd say Jefferson.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm totally good with that.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
We'll say Thomas Jefferson.
Brainwave's locked in with Thomas Jefferson. Pub Trivia Experience, what did you say?
Their thought process actually makes a lot more sense. You just did one where we had to pay very close attention to the clue. So it's entirely possible that I paid too much attention to the clue this time. But the thought process was who wrote the pamphlet Common Sense based on the clue. So we went Thomas Paine.
And a big fan of this particular politician was Angelica Schuyler. She did read his pamphlet, Common Sense. The correct answer is Thomas Paine.
Oh, nice. Do we get a half point for having a Thomas?
No, but I'll cheers your drink on that because I'm opening up my second beer right now. Let's see.
You sticking with heavy seas, Chris?
No, they only had one.
Oh, no, you said you only had one.
Yeah. This is from a brewing company called Captain Lawrence Brewing Company, and this is their Smoothie Dreams. It's an ale brewed with blueberry, cherry, vanilla, and milk sugar. I don't know what milk sugar is, but this sounds delightful.
It does.
Yeah, I'm drinking this at the wrong time of year. This should be like middle of summer. Oh, that's good, though.
I was going to say it sounds more like a summer beer, but have you ever had the Two Henrys Blueberry Vanilla?
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, what I never asked what scotch are you guys drinking?
Right now, we're just drinking a blended Johnny.
What color label?
This one is red.
Nice.
I'm not going to say what kind of scotch I'm drinking because I buy bottom shelf because I mix it with Diet Coke, and I would never buy good scotch and pour Diet Coke on top of it. So
there is no judgment here from us. As long as you're not drinking Natty Light or something like that.
Only one person on this podcast drinks Natty Light. And if you want to see who that was, go to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. The video is out there.
God, I walked right into that one.
And just for those of our listeners out there, Instagram and Facebook, find us at Pub Trivia Experience. Twitter at Pub Trivia Pod. And as you heard Brainwave mention, we do have our own, as well as Brainwave does, we have our own trivia question of the day that I slacked on this week because sleep is rare. But that does launch every day usually around noon our time on all three of our social media platforms. So find us there. And while you're there, find Brainwave Trivia because theirs is a lot of fun. All right. Round two, question number two. Your category is video games-ish. The Koopalings are a group of seven siblings who work under Bowser in the Super Mario Brothers games. Their names are Larry, Roy, Wendy O, Iggy, Morton, and Ludwig von Koopa. The seventh Koopaling takes his name from a British heavy metal band's frontman. What is the name of the seventh Koopaling?
Can you repeat the six names?
The six names, Larry, Roy, Wendy O, Iggy, Morton, and Ludwig von Koopa.
We can lock in.
We can also lock in.
Okay, Brainwave, what did you say?
We said Lemmy.
Brainwave locked in with Lemmy. Pub Trivia Experience.
Trick question. Lemmy is God.
And as you know, I am a big fan of Airheads. The correct answer is, in fact, Lemmy himself. Nicely done. I thought that was going to be a tough one. I really did.
I was actually, granted, software engineer nerd, but I was actually literally just discussing the Bowser's seven children with one of my coworkers 2 days ago and how most of them are named after, like, musicians.
Yeah.
I just thought there was Bowser.
No, there's the seven leading up to Bowser in Super Mario. They introduced him in Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah. And if you actually play Mario Kart, Lemmy is actually fun to play with. Because he's small, he gets real quick.
Which Mario Kart?
Whatever one my little brother plays. It's for Switch.
We have, there's a standing challenge in this house for Mario Kart on Super NES.
We have one that still works, like an original one. Like, that's we dope. Never get into 64 or the new ones, but like we've got a classic one. And when it finally like craps out, I'm going to be so sad.
That's awesome, though.
That is amazing.
It has been taking so many hours of my life.
All right. Round two, question number three. Your category is getting biblical. In the New Testament of the Bible, Jesus changed the name of a few of his disciples. Which one of his disciples was originally named Simon?
We can lock in.
All right. Brainwave, talk it out.
Okay.
I'm thinking so. Ruprecht.
Bartholomew. No, I'm pretty sure lots of years of Catholic school CDC is telling me that he renamed Simon Peter, the rock upon which I shall build my church, I think. And I just said a lot of things, but if that's not right, do not quote me on any of that. But
I won't, but it sounds really good.
Sounds good.
It does. Right? And because I was excommunicated when I was like a toddler. I don't know any of this.
So I think we're going to go with Peter.
Oh, Brainwave's locked in with Peter. Pub Trivia, what did you say?
We also said Peter.
And your correct answer, points for everybody, was Peter. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good job, guys. All right, round two, question number four. Your category is Never Tell Me the Odds. In 2020, the former Oakland Raiders will open the new Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Right across Interstate 15 is the south end of the strip. I want you to tell me what resort and casino is directly across from their new stadium. This particular resort opened in 1999 with a parade led by Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, and John Goodman.
Okay, we'll lock in on this one.
All right, they're locked in over at Brainwave Pub Trivia. Talk it out.
I feel bad because I go to Vegas a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah, Nick's been to Vegas. I went to Vegas one time, and it was literally 2 days after one of my buddies' five-day crazy bachelor party in New Orleans, so like I barely absorbed it. So I got nothing.
I just go to bed on basketball, so I don't right. know. Like, I don't really travel much. I just sort of hang out at the sports book.
Yeah, I mean, so I the only reason I was thinking MGM is because he was talking about the parade had movie stars, and I remember when we were there, it was at the one end of the strip.
I think it makes sense. MGM makes sense because I think they did a lot of renovations on it, which makes sense.
I mean, I have nothing, but I mean,
we'll go with MGM.
Pub Trivia is locked in with MGM. Brainwave, what did you say?
So we realized what it probably is after we had already locked in, so we're pretty mad at ourselves right now. But originally we thought MGM, but I remember staying there earlier than 1999. And then we came up with Hard Rock, and we both felt good about that, so we locked it in. But while you guys were talking, we are pretty sure that it is...
The House of Blues.
So, but we said Hard Rock.
We locked in with Hard Rock.
Okay. So the House of Blues is not a casino. In and of itself, it is located at Mandalay Bay.
Oh, damn it.
So close. So close. You had the right logic stream, too. All right. No points there. As we head into halftime, we have flipped scores a little bit with Pub Trivia Experience snagging a small lead, 54-48. And your halftime category is... Geography is literally only bodies of water, Mike.
Ow, fuck you.
I second the motion.
So I'm going to apologize in advance. I read this and I had to write this question because I loved it. For 4 points each, I want you to name the countries that are the top importers of bourbon based on the body of water that comes in contact with that country. So I'm going to tell you a body of water that makes land contact with that country, and you can tell me what country it is.
These are the top importers of bourbon?
Well, there's only one exporter of bourbon.
Fair point.
These are the top five, and I will tell you they range anywhere from $88 to $21 million worth of imports of bourbon alone. Your first one is the Balearic Sea. That's Balearic. Number two is the East China Sea. Number three is the Tasman Sea. Number four is the Gulf of St. Lawrence. And number five is the North Sea.
What was the first one again?
I believe it's the Balearic Sea. It's Balearic. And if that's not good enough, I will find another body of water for you. Instead of using the Balearic Sea, we'll use the Bay of Biscay.
So subbing that out?
It makes contact with both bodies of water.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Chris, can I ask a clarifying question?
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Are these listed? Are these just the top five, and are they in order?
They are in order, with number one at the top, number five at the bottom. And they are the top five importers of bourbon.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, we're ready to lock in with what we have.
All right, Brainwave is locked in. Pub Trivia, you can talk it out.
All right, we're kind of stuck on the...
Yeah, the reason we asked the clarifying question is because we're trying to figure out, like, had no clue on Balearic Sea, but at least Bay of Biscay sounds familiar. So we're trying to figure out other, you know, who would be the number one importer of Verb. And that was really why we're trying to, because we don't know if we're going to get there with the body of water. And we just, I mean, we really don't know. I don't think, I'm just trying to think of places where I feel like whiskey would be popular.
That's what I mean, like Russia's vodka.
Right. Russia loves their vodka, but with like, I don't know why, I don't know why.
Biscay sounds so familiar.
It really does. I know. It really does. Well, I think my mind keeps saying Bay of, like, I think my mind is, keeps going Bay of Bengal and I keep going back to India. I mean, I really don't know if I'm going to get there, but I'm just trying to, that's the route I'm trying to take, which is trying to figure out.
Who would drink a lot of bourbon?
Right. Yeah. Probably not. I think France is too hoity-toity to do that. Besides, you show up at the French coast with a case of bourbon, they'll surrender.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have a guess? Well, I think we're just going to submit a guess on the first one. I don't really have a good solid guess. And I just want to say, I don't know. Number one. Okay. He said it was like 88 million was the top. Like, so you're talking about a very populous nation, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, it could be India.
So, I mean, it's kind of a different, like, body of water. So, I mean,
I mean, India definitely borders several bodies of water. So, yeah. Or potentially, I mean, could be. So,
sure.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, we can call it. We're locked in with our answers.
Okay, I'm going to read out the individual amount that was export or imported, and I'm going to give you the body of water, and you tell me what your answers are. We'll start off with number one, the Bay of Biscay. Pub trivia experience. What did you say?
Yeah, we said India.
Brainwave.
We said France.
Oh, no points on that one. Brainweavers had the right area, just a little bit far north. It's actually Spain.
No. Oh. Interesting. Huh.
Number two is the East China Sea. Brainwave, what did you say?
We said South Korea.
Locked in South Korea. What about pub trivia experience?
We said Japan.
And pub trivia experience gets the points there. It is Japan.
I just knew they loved their scotch in Japan, so.
So, fun fact is a lot of the distilleries in Kentucky now are owned by Japanese companies.
Oh, that's funny.
So, like, one of my favorite bourbons is Blanton's. They actually have a version of Blanton's called Blanton's Gold. It's made by Buffalo Trace. But that particular bourbon, up until, like, this week, actually, has been exported only. They've been making it here in the States and exporting it overseas. Number three is the Tasman Sea. Pub trivia, what'd you say?
We said Australia.
Brainwave.
We also went with Australia.
Probably the easiest one on the list. Nicely done, nicely done. What about this Gulf of St. Lawrence? Pub trivia, what'd you say?
We said Canada.
And Brainwave.
We also said Canada, mainly because of the St. Lawrence River.
And that is correct. It is Canada. Nicely done.
Yeah, we had the exact same thought process.
In the North Sea is last. This country imported 21 million. Brainwave, what did you say?
We said Russia, which we're now really sure is wrong. Did I tell you I hate geography?
Yeah.
Okay.
You came on the wrong show. Chris loves geography. I'm sorry. Pub trivia, what'd you say?
But you came on the right show because Mike and Nikki both hate geography too. So, yeah.
So everyone hates Chris.
Stump us all. We said the Netherlands, and it was really just because when I went to the Netherlands, I remember going to the beach and going to the North Sea.
No points there. The Netherlands are on the North Sea, but we're looking for a country all the way to the west of that. It's actually the United Kingdom.
I even said to Nikki, I said, UK borders the North Sea, right? But we had no idea. So.
At one point in that one, we also were talking about Ireland.
Aye.
But because whiskey.
Yeah.
We were like, probably not it.
Ireland and Scotland, they have all the whiskey they could need. Why do they need our Kentucky nonsense?
Because our That's Kentucky exactly nonsense is delicious. No, Thank screw you, you. Bourbon's delicious.
bourbon is delicious. I just happen to personally think scotch is better.
Agree strongly.
Disagree strongly. I'll drink Bushmills, though. I do like Bushmills. I like Irish whiskey. Scotch, just not a fan.
Bushmills is tasty.
Bushmills is very tasty.
That's fine if you're not a fan of scotch. It just means there's more for us.
Definitely more for you.
Although, there are some scotches that taste like Band-Aids.
How dare you, sir?
I won't name names, but they exist.
There are terrible variations of just about every liquor you can imagine. Yeah.
That's true.
Moving into round three, your scores are 62-56 in favor of the pub trivia experience. Round three, question number one, your category is in food. We all know that milk comes in skim, 1%, 2%, and whole milk. The percentage relates to the percentage of fat content in that particular carton. Within 1% either way, what is the fat content of whole milk?
Okay, we'll lock in with our guess.
Brainwave has locked. Pub trivia, talk it out.
We only pour whole milk on a daily basis. We should really pay attention to what we're pumping into our daughter.
Yeah.
Milk-wise, because, yeah.
I mean, I think it's definitely significantly higher.
Like, yeah, I feel like it's like, for some reason, like 30% was like around.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know if it's necessarily like a round number or something like that, because Chris is like within 1%. Like, so it's probably like 24.6.
Well, it's like skim milk. I mean, like, it's like 0%. Like, I mean, can they really change it that much? I mean,
well, I guess that's true.
How much water
maybe
you put in?
Maybe it's just like 12%.
I mean, I don't think it's
like
that. I think 30% is that's yeah, way you're probably high. Right. I would say it's like 8%.
Okay. Want to say 10%?
Sure. If you want to put it in the milk.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean it's not like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean that would mean they would have to pump like so much water and skim milk.
Yeah. But no, this is absolutely true. When I was younger, I assumed that whole milk was 100% milk fat. So because I mean whole 100% made sense, right? But we'll lock in with 10%.
Pub trivia is at 10%. Brainwave, what did you say?
Oh, we're embarrassed.
We are in huge trouble on this question and locked in way sooner than we should have.
Probably, yeah. So we had the same thought, and Tim wrote down 100% question mark. And I said, well, that gives us no wiggle room. Let's say 98. So we locked in 98%. And as soon as we did so, I was like, wait a minute.
not big milk drinkers in the house, as
no,
you can tell.
No. So anyway, we're wrong, but we said 98%.
Okay. Unfortunately, no points going to anyone. 98% would be a lot of milk fat. The correct answer is whole milk contains between 3.25 and 3.5% milk fat.
Okay. So it's really
it's
not
very
a lot
small.
More than yeah, I was actually going to say
we were only off by 95%.
Well, but even 5 wouldn't have gotten us there.
Yeah, so. I know.
But that would have been. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to like unintentionally like rip on you.
No. We were. That's totally on us.
Chris, I think in the edit you're gonna hear a little squeak from me after he says, "Oh, when I was a kid, I thought it was 100%." And I was like, "Oh God, that's what we just did."
I heard it.
We have almond juice in the house.
You have what?
He refuses to call almond milk almond milk. He says it's almond juice because it's not actually milk. Because
there's no milk titty.
I was just about to say, where is the nipple in an almond? Like, come on.
Thank you. That's what I'm
saying. I'm right there with you, Tim.
Oh, my God. All right. Round three, question number two. Your category is in literature.
Do you hate me?
I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
Most people consider this phrase to be a wholly unoriginal opening line. Yet this was the opening line of Edward Bulwer Lytton's 1830 novel Paul Clifford that centers around a highway robber during the French Revolution. What is the opening line of that book?
We can lock in.
Pub trivia is locked in. Brainwave, feel free to talk it out.
So my first thought was, it was a dark and stormy night, which we just heard a thing the other day about Mary Shelley starting Frankenstein with that because people said that's a
not,
really crappy way to
right.
open a book.
Don't start any book with it's a dark and stormy night.
A wholly unoriginal way. I mean, once upon a time. But that doesn't sound like the subject matter of the book that he described.
Many a fairy tale started that way.
Yeah. But that's like a fairy tale trope, not like a literature thing. My gut went to this. Went to Dark and Stormy Night. Or unless it's something like in the beginning or...
Well, they told God not to use that too, so.
Yeah, what a hack.
Well, I can tell you I've definitely not read this.
Hmm. That's what I mean. I don't think it's Once Upon a Time because Highway Robber. I got nothing better than that.
Let's go with that because I have nothing better than that either.
Okay, we're going to say it was a dark and stormy night.
All right, Brainwave is locked in. Pub trivia, what did you say?
Probably most famously used by that great unpublished author Snoopy. I believe it's it was a dark and stormy night.
And that is correct. Nicely done. Yes. Good job. I thought that was going to be a tough question.
I think there's like an award that's named for that author that's given to terrible writing every year. I could be wrong.
So I'll take this to kind of plug another podcast that I listen to. Leah and I love this podcast. It's so informative. It's a lot of fun. They don't need any help from us because they're wildly successful. But Misinformation has an episode on literature awards, that is insane. I don't know anything about lit or literature awards, and I got this question just from listening to them, and like, oh, I need to look into that. If you have not heard the podcast Misinformation, it is Lauren and Julia from Rochester, New York, and it is a great listen. I would highly recommend. They have an entire episode dedicated like the 30-second ordeal that was the shootout at the OK Corral that I would say is one of the top 10 podcasts I've ever heard. Give them a listen. They're phenomenal.
That sounds fantastic.
We're going to go on. Round three, question number three. Your category
is... Chris, can I interrupt you for a second?
Kind of feels like you already did.
Yes, I did. I had two things I wanted to say. Number one, our Basset Hound Romeo managed to wedge his way behind me at some point, so I'm currently sitting on the edge of the couch, so if I'm weirdly close to the microphone or if I fall off the couch, I apologize.
Glory.
And number two, I have transitioned to a new beer.
Oh, yes. Tell me.
I told Chris about this beer a while back because I said I really wish I had known about this beer when we did our recast that for Three's Company on our other podcast. But this is another beer from the Straight to Ale Brewery that's in Huntsville, Alabama. It's called the Regal Beagle. It's a brown ale. It's fantastic. It's so good. That's a really good brewery in Huntsville.
Round three, question number three. Your category is in music lyrics. And I wanted to actually look up the year the song came out. Hold on 1 second. I apologize.
Are you going to sing?
No.
Oh, please sing.
Color me disappointed.
I will sing this line. I will sing this verse after you guys give me your answers and I give you the correct answer.
Fair enough.
I want you to tell me the group, and I will say group, it's not a single artist. I want you to tell me the group that performed the following lyrics from a 1999 release. There's nowhere to run. I have no place to go. Surrender my heart, body, and soul. How can it be that you're asking me to feel things you never show? And I will tell you, this particular song peaked at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 on March 18th of the year 2000.
Does not sound familiar to me at all, which is a bummer.
And if you both decide that you would like an extra hint, I'm happy to provide one. It would just need to be a consensus.
I think we'd take another hint.
We'll take a hint.
We'll definitely take another hint.
Yeah.
Okay. The group that performs this song is of the boy band Variety.
So exactly what we'd already narrowed it down to. Thanks a lot, jerk.
Yeah.
No one writes garbage lyrics like this unless they're...
This is like the one area of 90s music that I...
that should be abandoned?
I like an uncle that touched me as a kid.
I should absolutely know this, and I don't. Okay, we're locked in.
All right, pub trivia experience. Talk it out.
All right, we're going. So I was just telling Nikki, I was like, this is my freshman year of college, and one of my best friends, my freshman year of college, was not like really into boy bands, but he knew like the stuff. And you know, yes, spoiler alert, he did later come out of the closet. He knew a lot of the stuff. I was completely anti the whole boy thing. Like if it was even remotely associated with it, I wouldn't even listen to it at the time. So,
yeah.
I know nothing about this era.
I just know that NSYNC was a little more early odds. And I'm also thinking right. NSYNC would have been higher up on the charts.
Exactly. I don't think it's NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. I think we can eliminate those.
Well, Backstreet Boys was a little early. They were a little before NSYNC.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my NSYNC was like 90 degrees, maybe, just because I felt like they were like sort of known, but like not.
But they maybe wouldn't have gone to the top. Yeah. I think that's fine. The only other thing that popped into my head was that LFO band that did that New Kids on the Block Suck a Lot of Dicks song. Sorry, that was the Eminem version, but you know what I mean. You know the song I'm talking about. But I think 98 degrees is probably the best.
Chinese food makes me sick.
Exactly.
When the girls stop buying for the summer.
I mean, it's a guess. I mean, I don't really know.
I don't know either.
I'm just thinking that would have probably been when they had their, because I think they were a little, I don't even know if they were before or after.
Well, for some reason, I always thought like the progression was Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and then 98 Degrees I always thought was after NSYNC.
Maybe.
Because it was like, oh God, are we still doing this shit? And then that was
when,
why they were not
did,
quite
yeah,
as popular.
Yeah, well, they were like on like, when did that like, He had a show with like Justin.
Yeah, but that was late. That was definitely early to mid aughts. That wasn't. Yeah. So.
Yes, but he would have already been out of 98 degrees at that point.
I think you're right. So that I think 98 degrees is as good as we're gonna get.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll say 98 degrees.
All right, they've locked in with 98 degrees. Brainwave, what did you say?
So.
I had the exact same discussion you guys just had.
I was fully confused. I was fully into that music at this time.
I was fully not.
And I know that it's not an NSYNC lyric because I know every NSYNC lyric and it's not that. And I'm not ashamed of that.
No, and that's okay because NSYNC was clearly the best band out of all of those.
I disagree.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You are a gentleman and a scholar.
In a small pond, that was...
I'm neither of those things, but thank you nonetheless.
So anyway, I know that Millennium, which was the Backstreet Boys' like big album, came out in 99. So I said they still would have been charting in 2000. And so we went with the Backstreet Boys.
And you picked up on the clue. The album Millennium dropped in 1999. And this is a lyric from Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely of the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Good pull.
I take no pleasure in getting that right.
You'll take the points, though.
He'll take them.
I guess.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
Tribute on that answer.
Chris delights in coming up with music questions that I don't know, and he knows my weak points. So.
I do. But then I did an entire 90s music game with you, so shut the hell up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Round three, question number four. Your category is Kiss the Cook, Please. Known as the Holy Trinity in Cajun and Louisiana Creole cooking, name two of the three vegetables that are used as the base for several of their recipes.
We can lock in.
Mike and Nikki are locked. Brainwave, talk it out.
You sons of bitches.
He's taking full advantage of the explicit tag.
I am. I'm three scotches deep, so now I have to.
Oh, it's obligate. Yeah, damn right.
Right? It is obligatory. I have to.
All right, so Tim said, you said onions, and then I said eggplant, and then immediately crossed it out at the look that you gave me when I put eggplant. So then you said carrots, and then I said, well, if you add celery, that makes a mirepoix, which is a French cooking, like base for most soups and stews and stuff. And like Louisiana Cajun cooking would be based a lot around
French cooking.
But I don't know, like celery is like a nothing vegetable. So would
it's
that actually
like 90% water.
Yeah. Would it actually be like the base of dishes. You know what I'm saying?
It would be if it's the base for that dish.
Well, mirepoix is not like a dish, though. It's like...
It's like a soup base.
Yeah, yeah. It's like everything that you would put in if you were making like a really good stew. You know what I mean? Like
a gumbo?
Yeah, possibly.
Or a jambalaya?
Possibly.
I say we go with those three, because I don't have anything better than those three.
Yeah.
I only need two.
No.
Oh, we only need two. Okay, well, let's leave out the garbage vegetable, and we'll just say onion and carrot. Yeah.
They have locked in with onions and carrots. Mike and Nikki, what did you say?
I watch a lot of Food Network, so I know that it's onions, peppers, and celery.
No. Oh, it is a garbage vegetable you left on the side of the plate.
Sorry. I know. I don't like celery. I never really understood it, but yeah, that's when they call it, like, they're always talking about it on the Food Network, the Holy Trinity, and it's, yeah, onions, peppers, and celery.
This is how little I know. I'm like, okay, well, I know okra's in gumbo, so I wrote down okra, and Nikki gives me a look like, they gave you a college degree? Like, what the...
Oh, no. Nikki is 100% right. The Holy Trinity is, in fact, celery, onions, and bell peppers. Nicely done, though. Nicely done. We're going to go ahead and head into round four.
That's a nice pull.
It's a hell of a pull, Nikki. Good job. Okay. Round four, as we head into it, your scores are 82-76, pub trivia with a slight lead. This game has gone back and forth the entire night. Round four, question number one. Your category is in tobacco.
I'm an expert.
What family-owned cigar company was the best-selling cigar company in the U.S. in both 2018 and 2019? It's best known for its Opus X line of cigars.
We're going to lock in with what is probably an incorrect guess, but it's about as close as we got.
Pub Trivia Experience has locked in. Brainwave, talk it out.
Okay, so when it comes to cigars, I know Cohibas.
When I said I was an expert, I was talking about cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Cohibas are definitely Cuban. And then the only other cigar thing that I can think of is Swisher, which makes like Swisher Sweets.
Right,
like
hold on. Let me make sure I rephrase this. And I'll let Mike, if you want to take your answer back, I haven't looked at your response yet, but if you want to take your answer back, you can. These are hand-rolled cigars only.
That doesn't change our answer.
Okay.
I don't know how it would.
So so that just means it's not the $5 pack of Swisher Sweets you can get at the Circle K?
I apologize. I didn't mean to be intentionally disruptive there.
No, that's the only two cigar things that I can even think of was the super high-end Cubans and the super low-end grape-flavored cigars. Can you think of anything?
What about Macanudo?
I have never heard of that, but I am down with it if it makes sense to you. I have nothing.
I've heard of them. I think I've probably smoked a couple of them over the years, but I...
Is it American?
I don't know if it is or not.
That's better than the zero that I have. Trust the gut.
It's the only other one I can think of, and it just popped into my head.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Okay, you say it again, because I don't know what it is.
We're going to lock in with Macanudo.
All right, they've locked in with Macanudo. Pub Trivia Experience, what did you say?
So perhaps hilariously, we had the exact same thought process.
I don't know.
Nikki's, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but she's not a cigar smoker. I enjoy the occasional cigar, but I don't pay that much attention. I was like, okay, I was naming like the, you know, like the Cohibas, like she said. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's not that. Pretty sure it's not Romeo and Juliet. And like, and then my mind landed on Macanudo. I was like, that sounds like it could be it. So let's throw it in there because I don't know if we're going to get any closer. So we also went with Macanudo.
All right, both teams locked in with Macanudo. Both teams are getting 0 points.
So exactly.
The company is actually owned right now by a brother-sister combination. It is, I believe they're out of the Dominican Republic. It's Arturo Fuente.
Oh,
I have heard that.
And they're good.
The cigars I've had from them, I had the Opus X, I've had a few others. It's a good roll. If you're a cigar fan, they're good. It's a good roll. You'll enjoy it.
I think I've actually had one of theirs too. I have this weird thing. I can remember beer brands, but I cannot remember wineries, and I cannot remember like anything else. Pretty much beer brands I can remember, nothing else. I don't know why.
It's the beer.
You know your wine. Yeah. Bah, maybe. Anyway, good question.
Okay. Round four, question number two. Your category is in sports.
Sports.
As you may know, hitting for a cycle in baseball includes hitting a single, double, triple, and home run in the same game. I want you to tell me, what is the most common hit that completes a cycle? In other words, what is the most common hit to get fourth?
Ooh.
Mm. We're locked in.
Yeah, Brainwave, go ahead and talk it out.
Okay, so I'm thinking that the hardest thing to get, honestly, is a triple. And then people get singles a lot, people get doubles a lot, people hit home runs a lot. And so I think there are a lot of games where someone hits a single, a double, and a home run. And then it's like, oh no, is he going to get the cycle? So I think the most common thing that would complete a cycle would be the hardest of those four to get, which would be the triple. So I think triple.
But is it possible the most common thing to complete a cycle would be the most common thing to hit?
Maybe. Which is like the reverse of the logic that right. I'm going with.
And I'm sorry, I'm throwing a monkey wrench.
How dare you?
I know. But
I think there are a lot of games where people have the three that are less difficult or less common.
Right.
And so the most common thing that would complete a triple would be the hardest
cycle.
The least likely one that you get, which is why cycles are so infrequent.
I just had to redeem it.
I appreciate it.
No, I'm good with that. I'm good with triple. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to say triple.
All right. Brainwave is locked in with triple. Pub trivia experience, what do you think?
So we had sort of a similar thought process. The only big difference is we sort of felt like most of the cycles we've seen, triples seem to happen earlier. And we ultimately came down to, we felt like it might be like, for whatever reason, we just felt like the single kind of feels like it comes in last. We felt like either the single or the double was more of the one that comes in later.
Yeah.
It seems like, I don't know. There wasn't a particular logic, but it just felt like one of the things that I said was, oh, I could see where somebody would stop at first base. You know, if their team was way ahead and count, you know, so that they could get the cycle instead of going for what would potentially be a double type of scenario. So anyway, we went with single.
All right. So the least common occurring 20% of the time, the least common hit to get to complete a cycle is the single.
Oh, okay.
24% of the time, it's a home run. 25% of the time, it's a double.
Okay, you were right.
31% of the time, the last hit is a triple. Nicely done, Brainwave.
Well done.
Wow.
That makes sense because it's the opposite of the logic. You leg out what would probably be a double under normal circumstances to get the triple.
All right. That, my friends, swings this game to a lead for Brainwave, 86-82. Round four, question number three, your category is in journalism. And this question is provided by my lovely wife, Leah. Of all the newspapers named The Herald, what East Coast City's newspaper has the largest circulation?
We can lock in.
Brainwave is locked in. Pub trivia, talk it out.
There's a Boston Globe, and I'm pretty sure there's a Boston Herald, too. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know any newspapers named The Herald, really. I thought Boston Herald was a thing. I can't think of any others that are East Coast cities. Do you know any other? Miami Herald. Oh, it's fucking Miami Herald. That's exactly what it is. It's Miami Herald.
Yep.
All right, we're going to lock in with Miami.
Pub trivia is locked in with Miami Herald. Brainwave, what did you say?
We also said Miami.
We did, and we had a similar train of thought, too. We were looking at the Boston Herald, but then we thought the Boston Globe was probably the main paper for Boston. Mm-hmm. So, and we ended up settling with Miami Herald.
But there is a Boston Herald.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
you both went right around my trap there, or Leah's trap there. It is, in fact, the Miami Herald. There is a Boston Herald, but it's actually Miami. Good job.
Nicely done, guys.
Likewise.
But we're going to need you guys to miss this last question. So.
Round four, question number four. Your category is in fashion, and this one as well was contributed by my lovely wife, Leah.
What, Chris? You didn't write a fashion question?
No. I did that once, and y'all bitched at me about it, so I don't do that anymore.
Mostly because I've seen the way you dress.
Damn. Like, warranted, but damn. Yeah, I get it. Round four, question number four, your category is in fashion. Not just worn by Sandra Dee, what article of female attire was created in 1947 and in the 50s was called the quote-unquote first teenage fashion trend before losing its popularity moving into the 60s? Look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. You sing it, Mrs. Bartlett.
Okay, we are going to lock in.
All right, Brainwave is locked in. Pub trivia, talk it out.
So it's something that died like in the 60s, like it was in fashion for a while?
He said it started in 1947, it was like a fashion, but then it died out in the 60s.
Okay. Well, Sandra Dee, I mean, she was known for being very, like,
she came after Sandra's A, B, and C.
No, but she, yeah, but wasn't she very, like,
she
was known for kind of dressing like kind of younger, like kind of innocent, I think, but I don't know. But then I don't know.
Sandra Dee is one of those names. I'm like, oh, I know.
She was married to Bobby Darin, and I don't know what fashion trend she started, though.
I mean, Sandra Dee is one of those, like, I know that name. Why do I know that name? What was she? Like that's kind of where
She was just a blonde actress in the...
Yeah, but okay, but...
She was known for being very, like, innocent looking and sweet.
Okay.
Like, that's why, like, he was singing the song from Grease, like, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee.
Oh, that's from Grease?
Yeah, that's from, okay. Yeah. That's why he said sing it, Mrs. Bartlett, because... No.
Rizzo. No. Oh. Look who just
joined the party.
Oh, God. All right.
I don't know what trend she started. I don't know.
Chris, I know they've already locked in, but can we get the question again?
Yeah. Not just worn by Sandra Dee, what article of female attire was created in 1947 and in the 1950s was called the quote-unquote first teenage fashion trend before losing popularity as we entered the 1960s?
So it's basically, we're getting hung up on the Sandra Dee thing, but what was a female fashion trend in the 50s? I mean, maybe that's really the...
For a teenage fashion trend
in the 50s.
Was it the hoop skirt? Maybe like the poodle skirt? Because she was known for being kind of like innocent, so maybe the poodle skirt?
Sure, if that's a thing that...
Yeah, because like the sock off and like they were all like in the middle, like...
I've never heard the term poodle skirt, but yeah. I kind of know like what they're wearing. That sounds good to me.
It's very 50s.
So. Yeah.
All right, we'll say the poodle skirt.
Pub Trivia's locked in with the poodle skirt. Brainwave, what did you say?
So we had two thoughts, and it was either poodle skirt or saddle shoes. And we thought that saddle shoes probably hung around longer into the 60s, but thinking of Sandra Dee, we went with poodle skirt.
Oh, Mrs. Bartlett, you made fun of the wrong woman. Completely changing her appearance to appease a man, like, wrong, way, way, way wrong motto to set for young women. But the correct answer is, in fact, a poodle skirt. Nicely done.
I've literally never heard that term before. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like a long skirt.
Yeah, it's a long skirt made of like
I don't know. I feel like I know what you're talking about. I've just never heard it called a poodle skirt.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of something wrong.
Well, we got it right.
High five.
As we head into your wager round, your scores right now, Pub Trivia Experience has 102. Brainwave has 106.
So close.
It is anybody's game. This is a close-ass game, guys.
This has been a great game, guys. Good job.
You too.
Here's how this is going to work. I am going to give you three categories. You will then be given time to figure out your wagers. You can wager up to any amount of points that you have on these three questions. If you get it right, you get the points. If you get it wrong, you will lose the points. Are you ready for your three categories?
Yes.
No. Just kidding, yes.
Your three categories are very straightforward. Category number one is called Science in Nonfiction Writing. Category number two is Geography.
Really. Was that audible? Sorry.
They heard that in China with all 14 of their neighboring countries.
We are obligated to lament every geography question.
It's okay.
I can't help it. It's like a gut response, like breathing or blinking.
Or
not
drinking.
The pub geography experience.
Shut up. Be nice to me, damn it. I haven't slept. Okay, and question number three, your category is sports. Lock in your wagers, and we'll get started.
All right, we'll go ahead and lock in our wagers.
Okay, we're locked in.
We're going to go ahead and move into your final questions.
Gulp.
Gulp.
He made that same sound chugging Natty Light. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, just many, many times.
And then you hear Nikki in the background, chug, chug, chug. All right. Your final round, question number one, your category was in science in nonfiction writing. Carl Sagan was inspired by a picture taken from the Voyager 1 spacecraft in 1990 while it was 40 million miles away from Earth. This picture shares a name with a book that Sagan released in 1994. What was the colorful name of this book and picture?
We can lock in.
Brainwave is locked in. Pub trivia, talk it out.
I mean, we honestly got nothing.
What you had was a...
Yeah.
Well, he said colorful.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote down the word black, and then I was like, I know of Carl Sagan, certainly. I feel like I should know more, but I don't know this. Yeah, I really don't have a good idea. Being 40 million miles away from Earth is pretty freaking far. Could be, I mean, like, it's space, so it's like, I feel like it's black or blue or, you know. I'm trying to do like associations in my head.
I'm sorry. I'm like zero help.
No, I know. That's okay.
I mean, the Voyager is like a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spacecraft that's basically drifting to the end of the known universe and beyond. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I black matter. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Probably. I mean, you know, it's a picture, so. Black hole, maybe.
Yeah. That's in my mind. I was like black hole.
Yeah, yeah. Black holes, kind of. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We'll go with. Yeah, I know it's probably not right. We'll say black hole.
All right. Question number two in your final round. Category was geography. How many countries in Asia end in the letters STAN?
We can lock in.
Okay. So we've got Afghanistan,
Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Pakistan.
Which, that's five, and I feel like we're missing a couple.
I think we are.
Uzbekistan.
The Uzbeks.
I'm sorry, the what?
The Uzbeks. Uzbekistan.
The Uzbeks. I didn't know they had a nickname.
There's at least one more we're missing.
You want to just go with that?
I'm not sure.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Uzbekistan, which we just said.
Maybe. I feel like there's one more that I've been to that I can't think of. I've been to a lot of places
over there.
Oh, and they're all like right next to each other.
Is there a Kurdistan?
There is a Kurdistan. It's in Iraq. Well,
but is it its own country or is it part of Iraq?
Oh, that's
question. No, it's the Kyrgyzstan, the one that's impossible to spell.
Kurdistan.
Which is like K-Y-R-G-Y.
Kurdistan.
Yeah. And then that is the last lightning bolt that I'm going to have.
What was the one in Iraq that you said?
Kurdistan, but I don't think that's its own country. I think that's part of Iraq.
I think that one's debatable. It is technically part of Iraq, but it is an autonomous government.
Oh, I hate that kind of gray area.
Kurdistan is a legit, formally recognized independent country. Kurdistan is not an independently recognized country, I don't think.
Okay.
Because they fall under Iraq.
Okay.
Even though they have an autonomous government, they're like a territory, essentially.
So they would not be on this list.
They would not be on this list.
So that's 7.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. Go with 7?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to lock in with 7.
Your final question. Your category is in sports. According to a 2019 Forbes report, the top 2 highest valued soccer teams in the world are both from what country?
We can lock in.
All right.
Okay. Well, one of them has to be Manchester United, right?
Okay, so I literally just wrote this as an Instagram question the other day. But he is going off of Forbes, and I was going off of Business Insider, which shouldn't make a difference. What was the freaking second one? It was definitely Man U. It was definitely FC Barcelona. And I thought the other one was German. Which wouldn't make sense. I'm fairly certain the other one was German. Oh, no, because I gave the first one and I said, what was 2 through 4? Oh, crap. Ola. I can get there.
We can just go with shit.
No.
I prefer crapola.
Oh, okay.
I love that country. Don't laugh at my bad jokes.
It's also a stand. It's crapola stand.
Yeah. Okay, this one was German. 2 was Man U. 3 was Munich Bayern. Okay, so this is UK. This is Germany. And this is Spain. And so now I have to remember the fucking question that I wrote.
There's the F-bomb.
Finally, we earned our explicit.
But I gave the first answer, and the picture is a guy named Gareth. See,
what about Brazil? Is it Brazil?
Sports is not, no, because the question is 2 of these top. Well, wait. Chris, can you read the question one more time, please?
Of course. According to a 2019 Forbes report, the top 2 highest valued soccer teams in the world are both from what country?
Okay, so
they're both from the same country.
Top 2. And if
Manchester United,
if Man U is 2, then the first one has to be
from the same country.
Yes. This is torturing me. I should have this, like, I should have been able to. Oh god, thank you for your patience. Your answer will be right up. Your trivia game is very important to us. You are the third caller.
Please continue to hold while we play you this soothing music.
I think his name was Garrett Cole.
No, Garrett Cole's a pitcher for the Yankees.
Oh, it's Gareth something. Or maybe it's something Gareth. I'm going to have to look at my own Instagram in a second. Okay, let's just say UK, because it's definitely Man U. All right, so we will lock in with the UK.
They have locked in with the United Kingdom. All right. So here's how we're going to play this. We're going to go question by question here, and we're going to ask you both to give your wagers and then your responses. Question number 1, your category was in science and nonfiction writing. Carl Sagan was inspired by a picture taken from the Voyager 1 spacecraft in 1990 while it was 40 million miles away from Earth. This picture shares a name with a book Sagan released in 1994. What is the colorful name of this book and picture? Pub trivia experience, what was your wager?
Spoiler alert, we felt confident about none of these particular categories, but for this one, we wagered a whopping 10.
And Brainwave, what was your wager?
We ended up wagering 15 on this one because it was the first science question we had all night, and we were despondent.
He was despondent.
I was despondent. That's true. We ended up going with the Blue Marvel while we had a bit of back and forth before that, but we ended up locking with the Blue Marvel.
They locked in with the Blue Marvel. Pub trivia experience, what did you say?
We honestly had no idea. We just said black hole.
In Brainwave, you were on the right track. The name of the book and the picture is actually referred to as the Pale Blue Dot.
That actually rings a bell now that you say that.
Your scores now, 92 to 91 with Pub Trivia Experience with a 1-point lead. Question number two, your category was in geography. I wanted you to tell me how many countries in Asia end in the letters STAN. Brainwave, how much was your wager?
Well, we aforementioned hate geography, so we bet zero on this one.
And Pub Trivia Experience?
As I'm sure it will come to shock to our listeners, we also bet zero on this one. and I did want to give a shout out to Brainwave, though, because you guys put a lot of thought into it. Like, we were like, we listed a couple stands and we were like, fuck it, we bet zero. Let's just have it.
Yeah, no,
but and then as soon as you said Turkmenistan, I turned to Nikki. I go, "Fuck! I forgot Turkmenistan."
After we had a certain list, and then we were like agonizing to figure it out, like right next to our list on our sheet over here, I wrote, "We bet zero, though."
All right. Well, not that it matters, but we got to give an answer. Pub Trivia Experience, what was your answer?
We said 5, which we now know is ridiculously low.
And Brainwave.
We ended up with 7.
All right, I'm going to read them off here. Your correct answers are Pakistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, and Kyrgyzstan. It is 7. Question number 3.
So it's coming down to the final question.
Your category was in sports. According to a 2019 Forbes report, the top 2 highest valued soccer teams in the world are both from what country? Pub Trivia Experience, what did you wager?
We wagered 20, because sports is a way too wide open category.
Brainwave, what was your wager?
We went with 10 on this one.
This is going to decide the game, everybody. Pub Trivia Experience, what did you say?
So the first team that popped into my head was Real Madrid. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure there's like a the first team I popped in my head was Manchester United. But then I was like, I cannot think of another British team. So then I said Real Madrid. And then Nikki was like, wasn't there one in Barcelona? I was like, I think there's one in Barcelona. So we said Spain.
Brainwave, what did you say?
I am full of shame because I literally just wrote a question for the Brainwave Trivia Instagram account about this the other day. And so the question that I had asked named the top team and then asked people to come up with teams 2 through 4. And I was able to come up with teams 2 through 4 and somehow could not remember the team that was number 1. So I had Barcelona, I had Man U, and I had Munich Bayern, and I thought, well, it must be the UK then. And I completely forgot about Real Madrid, so we said UK, and I now know that that's wrong, and I apologize. Oh.
There are 2 countries in the top 5 that have 2 teams. The UK has the number 3 and the number 5 with Man City and Man U. Germany has number 4 with... I'm going to butcher that name. It's, oh God, I'm going to,
he just said it, right?
Yeah, I know, but I can't, I'm bad with stuff. Is it Bayern Munich?
Mm-hmm.
Bayern, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Number 1 and number 2, Real Madrid and Barcelona. To put this into context, these are valued around $4.24 billion each.
Good Christ, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Real Madrid, $4.24 billion. Barcelona's valued at $4
billion.
Oh, my God. That's just unbelievable to me, but...
For a sports team.
Yeah.
How much are the Cowboys or the Yankees worth?
The Cowboys are valued at $5 billion. The Yankees are valued at $4.6 billion.
There you go.
All right, there's some perspective. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
if I ever have $5 billion, the first thing I will do is destroy the Cowboys.
Dude, move them to Cheyenne. Oh, all right. Well,
that was a great game, guys.
It's a hell of a game. Your final scores: Pub Trivia Experience at 112, Brainwave at 81, and that game was a lot closer than those scores made it look. Nicely done, though, guys. I'm impressed. I thought I wrote a pretty tough game, and y'all just made me just... Damn.
You did write a tough game. The only thing that could have made it tougher is if you had written who was the director of Psycho, because we would all got it wrong, because you would have the answer wrong. And that's my one per cast.
Dawn of the Living Dead.
You didn't give me a good opportunity to slide it in, so I forced it, but whatever.
Oh, man. Hey, Brainwaves, did you guys have fun tonight?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Everyone have a little bit of a buzz going on?
Absolutely.
Yep. Sorry, Nikki.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Nikki can't drink.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, man.
Brainwave, we had a great time playing with you guys, though. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Likewise. Thank you, guys. You guys were obviously great, great opponents.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind this. There's a reason I wrote this game and I didn't play it. Like, I couldn't beat Mike in anything other than Oscars trivia and home run hitting, and that's about it.
I'm comforted by the fact that even if we had bet zero, like going with the winner's bet zero sort of theory, we still would have lost. So,
no, if you only bet on the geography question.
I know. Right? We bet zero on the one we got right.
That actually was great. Yeah, you guys nailed that one.
Delicious irony.
Right.
Fate is not without a sense of irony. Mm-hmm.
Before we sign off, I want to go ahead and give Brainwave one more chance. Tell everyone about yourselves and where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so you can check out brainwavetrivia.com. That is where you can look at our subscription service for the trivia games that we write every week. And you can also look at the trivia blog that's there. Sometimes while I'm writing a quiz, I will get inspired to just write a little mini quiz, and I put it up there on the blog. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Brainwave Trivia, and also check us out on Facebook.
Also on the website, you can download a free quiz if you're throwing a party or having a trivia night, mm-hmm. and you want to hang with some friends.
And check out the style of questions that we do. And and then Amazon.com for either the Friends book or the Sex and the City book. Just search my name, Kylie Diggs, and those will come up for you.
They most definitely did. And I think we're going to be having a Friends episode here in the near future in the future at some point. It'd be awesome if you wanted to come back and either host it or play it.
Oh, I am there. I am 100% there.
So I'll leave that up to you. But seriously, guys, thank you. I've never met you guys before, but this has been a lot of fun for me. So thank you guys for coming on. It was a damn good game.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And hey, I wrote one trivia game for this podcast this entire time, and you guys. I find it so hard to write trivia games. So the fact that you guys do that with the frequency that you do, my hat's off to you.
For the Pub Trivia Experience, though, I have been Chris.
I'm Mike.
Nikki.
Kylie.
And Tim.
And those are the lovely folks of our Brainwave Trivia. Check them out. Do their trivia question of the day. It's a good time. Find us on Instagram. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget. Five-star ratings always help. A review would be amazing. But if you want the newest content, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. And this just in, our sister podcast, Recast That, is now live. If you're a movie fan, this is where you want to be. Recast That is a podcast that takes people who love movies and television shows and we put them in the casting director's chair. You ever wanted to know who would play Marty McFly in a modern retelling of that movie? Come listen to us talk it out. What about Die Hard? Who's going to play John McClane? Mike and I know. Listen to us. You'll find out that as well. We have got about 10 episodes in the can. We've got even more coming out every 2 weeks. That will be out there. Have a great week, everyone. I will say the only reason I know this is my buddy Tom, Mike knows him, took me out last Saturday to celebrate having a baby, and he brought me one of these cigars. We went to a place called Cigar Cave. He went inside, got there early, and bought me a Opus X cigar, and it is amazingly smooth. It's a really good draw. And then I had some Blantons to go with it. So, hey, Buffalo Trace, good job with your bourbon.
Nice. That sounds exactly like something that y'all would do.
And then we watched Tyson Fury beat the crap out of Deontay Wilder.
Also sounds like something y'all would do.
That fight was not close. I don't think Wilder got out of the blocks, but I'll shut up now. You guys think about your answers.
Well, you know, it's because of the costume.
Duke came to the freaking ring wearing a 50-pound costume. That's why he got his ass kicked. It wasn't that he was outweighed by 50 pounds or in 3 inches below Fury.
We're going to lock in with what is probably an incorrect guess, but it's about as close as we got.
Pub Trivia Experience has locked in. Brainwave, talk it out.
Okay, so when it comes to cigars, I know Cohibas.
When I said I was an expert, I was talking about cigarettes.
Yeah. But Cohibas are definitely Cuban. And then the only other cigar thing that I can think of is Swisher. Which makes like Swisher sweets.
Right.
Like,
hold on. Let me make sure I rephrase this. And I'll let Mike, if you want to take your answer back, I haven't looked at your response yet, but if you want to take your answer back, you can. These are hand rolled cigars only. I bought my I got segue here. We went to there's a horror movie Comic Con that comes to Tampa or comes to Orlando and Tampa twice a year. It's called Spooky Empire. And when Leah was pregnant for Halloween week, when it was here, last Halloween. So we went and bought baby clothes, and we were going to bring my kid home in a onesie that had the DreamWorks, like the DreamWorks moon. But instead of having just the moon there, it had Freddy Krueger on it, and it said never sleep again underneath it. And you would have thought I started World War III. Both sets of grandparents flipped their crap. Flipped their shit over that.
They're aware that the kid's never going to remember that, right?
They're aware that you'd think I was the worst parent in the world. Like you would think I am the worst parent in the world. We bought one of those, and we bought one with one of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called Trick or Treat. It's a Halloween themed anthology movie by Michael Dougherty, and there's a little kid in there, a little demon in there called Sam, and he's this little. This really little guy with a burlap sack for a head, and he carries around a broken lollipop and he kills people. I bought her a onesie with that on it too, and oh my gosh, you would have thought I started World War III. And I'm just like, Kylie and Tim are sitting there going like, why the hell are we here? Like I have other shit I could be doing on a Saturday night,
right?
And they just hung up. All right, sorry.
And I'll say, like, when I'm watching Jeopardy, I'm the guy who I either go zero or I go all in, depending on the category.
We were literally just having that discussion.
Yes.
Because we're no good at the wager.
Yeah.
It's also hard because, like, I've listened to you guys play some, but not enough to know if you're winners bet zero people or go big or go home people. And if I knew that, it would be easier to figure out what we should bet because the game is so
cool. Like, we don't know what they are. We don't right. know what they are.
Well, strategy. Kylie, I'll tell you this. Like, it really just depends. Like, I've been both. In my
depends on how
day.
Much he's had to drink.
That's the very that's
yeah, we're similar. Either yeah, same logic.
Yeah,
does that work for you?
It would help if we had like a set format. I'm just gonna say yeah. that.
Yeah, you know,